attempts to celebrate prisoner releases and said, quote, my instructions are clear. There are to be no expressions of joy. Expressions of joy are equivalent to backing terrorism. Victory celebrations give backing to those human scum for those Nazis. So if you can talk about what this means. In the West Bank, we've seen 1,000 people coming out to celebrate the young men now. Boys, when they were arrested, some have come of age while they were in prison. But in East Jerusalem, we are not seeing that. Is it because people are terrified of being arrested for terrorism? I mean, this from Ben Gavir, a man who himself was convicted in Israeli court 15 years ago of aiding terrorism and inciting hatred of Palestinians.
Yes, first of all, good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm going to talk about several violations after or in the past 3 days within this exchange deal, starting with the West Bank. So the Israeli forces deliberately assaulted the released prisoners and their families during the prisoner release operations. They first delayed the release of prisoners until late at night. They released the child prisoners wearing clothes that are too big for their size. And some of them were barefoot. Additionally, the clothes did not provide adequate protection from the cold weather at these days. Forces also used gas bombs, the rubber bullets, live ammunition in front of Ofer prison, where families were gathered to meet with their children and loved ones. On the other hand, and concerning the released prisoners from Jerusalem, the Israeli forces raided the homes of the prisoners before their release in the occupied Jerusalem. They prevented them from any signs of celebration upon, of course, reuniting with their loved ones, sons and daughters. The families of the released prisoners were summoned to Al-Maskoubiya Center, where they were subjected to harsh and arbitrary conditions that prohibited them from gatherings, banned them from marches and fireworks, prevented them from chanting slogans, in addition to confiscating the suites that were inside the houses. Also, there were assaults on journalists who were present at the homes of the released prisoners, and that was by physically assaulting them and expelling them out of the houses, prohibiting them from media coverage. That's what happened, or these are the main violations happened in the West Bank and occupied Jerusalem in the past 3 days of the prisoner exchange.
Can you talk about particular cases of young people who are imprisoned at Tal HaNasser? You're speaking to us from Ramallah. If you can talk to us, for example, about the case of, of the young man who was Ahmed Manasra. Tell us when he was arrested, what happened to him when he was 13 years old.
Yes. Okay. So regarding Ahmed Manasra, so he was arrested when he was 12 years old. And he was on attempts of stabbing an Israeli settler. He was interrogated in a very hard conditions inside Israeli prison. He went under torture and ill treatment. He is now facing psychological illness and issues. Of course, he's not on the list of the prisoners supposed to be released within this exchange deal because he's over 18. While he was under 18, he was 12 years old when he was arrested. We hopefully think his name will be on the next list of the supposed to be released from Israeli prisons. But until now, nothing is accurate about the many prisoners, talking about the prisoners who were released or their names were on the list. One of them is serves the highest sentence of all child prisoners. His name is Muhammad Abu Qtish. He is serving a 15-year sentence, which is the highest sentence among all the children. We're talking about a woman prisoner who was released before 2 days. Her name is Shuruq Dwaya. She is sentenced to 16 years old, and it's the highest sentence among the women prisoners. We're talking about injured and ill female prisoners who were released. One of them is Isra Al-Jabit, who suffered severe burns all over her body. We're talking about Fatma Shaheen. She's a woman, a prisoner who was released. She lost the ability to walk. She is paralyzed for being shot by the occupation forces. We're also talking about releasing 4 administrative detainees from women prisoners, in addition to 9 child administrative detainees. These are being held under administrative detention without a charge, without a trial, and indefinitely.
And let's talk about how many Palestinians are imprisoned right now. What, over 7,000, 2,000 of them from the West Bank since October 7th?
Not exactly. We're talking about over 7,000 Palestinian political prisoners inside Israeli prisons right now. More than 2,500 of them are being held under administrative detention. And talking about after the 7th of October, the number of 80% of the Palestinians detained after the 7th of October are being now held under administrative detention without a charge, without a trial. And after the 7th of October until this day, we're talking about 3,260 Palestinians detained in Israeli prisons until this day. So in less than 2 months, it's more than 3,000 Palestinians, including 120 female prisoners, including 41 journalists. And let me shed light on something. From Friday until this day, we're talking about more than 112 Palestinians that were detained in the past 3 days only, from the beginning of the truce. So it's actually equal to the number of released prisoners within the exchange deal. So these mass arrest campaigns are still taking place in all the cities, villages, refugee camps in the Palestinian territories, and most of them are being held under administrative detention. Something important to note also, there 6 Palestinian prisoners died or were killed inside Israeli prisons in less than a month. These 6, 4 of them were arrested after the 7th of October, and 2 of them were arrested before. Until now, we don't know the circumstances of their death, because we still don't have the accurate information, but the testimonies of prisoners and released prisoners affirm that they were brutally beaten inside the prisons. So several violations have been taking place inside Israeli prisons after the 7th of October, and that's what we have documented throughout these 2 months.
Near Ofer Prison in the West Bank, Hanana Barghouti spoke after she was part of the first group of 39 Palestinian detainees to be released. She said since October 7th, her family was not allowed to contact her after Israeli prison authorities launched a brutal crackdown on Palestinian prisoners. She says she was in September and placed in jail without charge or trial for an initial period of 4 months, subject to indefinite extensions under Israel's administrative detention policy. 4 of her sons are also under arrest.
Yes, true.
The female prisoners are in grief. The female prisoners are in agony. The female prisoners are very upset. They impose on us many humiliating things and all the things that hurt us. But we remained with our heads held high and steadfast and tolerant despite their sadism. God willing, we will free all the female prisoners and empty the jails.
So that's Hanan Al-Barghouti, who was arrested in September and just released as part of the prisoner exchange. I actually want to put this question to Orly Noy. How are Palestinian prisoners perceived? I mean, the way you describe them, we talk about the Israeli hostages taken by Hamas on October 7th. You describe them as hostages of the Israeli state, with so many of them not even charged.
Yeah, I should mention a word about the collaboration of the Israeli media with the general state attempt to portray each and every Palestinian behind bars as a terrorist. I mean, this is the one and only term that the Israeli media is referring by to the Palestinian prisoners. It doesn't matter what they did, and if it's a 12-year-old child who threw stones, or a grown-up man who did something more severe. They are all seen as terrorists, and the double standards, particularly in that area, is really mind-blowing, because the same system that allows every Jewish settler, citizen, or soldier, or policeman to walk away after killing Palestinians under the most outrageous circumstances is the same system that treats a 12-year-old who threw stones as a dangerous terrorist. And all of a sudden, stones can kill and whatnot. So they are all seen as terrorists. And one of the most difficult tasks for human rights organization is actually to advocate for the conditions of the Palestinian prisoners who, as was mentioned before, which were harshened dramatically since October 7th. And we've been talking to some people, and we've been hearing heartbreaking, shaking testimonies about the conditions of Palestinian prisoners in the prisons these days. They are far away from the public eye, and further away from public interest.
So where do you see this going, Orly Noy? Do you see Israel, Hamas has already agreed to this, extending this truce for every day that they release 10 hostages? And what about the pressure on Netanyahu, where you had thousands of Israelis marching to his offices demanding hostages be number one over a military strike on Gaza?
I think that the question would become crucial after the release of all the civilians, because we should keep in mind that Hamas is also holding in captivity Israeli soldiers, and without a doubt, the price that they will demand for their release is going to be much, much higher than what we've seen so far. At the same time, and again going back to the role of the Israeli media, the media is pushing very hard to renew the war after those exchanges. And Netanyahu actually has a very big incentive to carry on the war because of those demands that you mentioned, because he knows that the day after the war, the Israeli public is going to hold him accountable for that catastrophe. At the same time, nobody knows what Israel's end game is and what is Israel's plan for the day after the war regarding Gaza. So all of that, with the given situation in Gaza, where when people, the residents of the already most densely populated place on earth, are now squeezed in a smaller area, facing hunger, without clear water to drink, without proper medications, what will be the nature of the next phase of war, should there be one, under those circumstances, is I really do not dare to even imagine that scenario.
Just have 30 seconds left, but I want to ask Tala about your knowledge of the number of arrests of people, of Palestinians in Gaza. In recent days, Israel arrested Ani Khattab, the head of Khan Yunis's medical center, and Mohammed Abu Salmiya, the head of the Al-Shifa hospital. We also, of course, know about Masab Abu Taha, who is known around the world, the Palestinian poet and writer. He was taken with about 200 others in prison, but because of tremendous pressure and outcry, especially from the United States news organizations, he was released, but the others weren't.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we have no information about Palestinians who've been imprisoned from Gaza until this day. We tried to contact, of course, the Israeli prison service. All the Israeli human rights organizations are trying also to find out the whereabouts and the situation of Palestinians detained from Gaza. But until now, we don't even know the numbers of these Palestinians. And of course, we do not know the circumstances of their arrest. We are also talking about, until this day, there are approximately 700 missing Palestinians who are likely detained in the occupation prisons, but we don't know the accurate information about their conditions. These are from the workers who've been working inside Israel before the 7th of October. Some of them were released at the Karm Abu Salem crossing, but there are approximately 700 that are now still missing, and we don't have any information about them. So we are trying and working to know the conditions they're being detained, and what are their condition and what are they going through right now.
Well, Tala Nasser, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Lawyer with the Palestinian Prisoner and Human Rights Organization, Adamir, speaking to us from Ramallah in the occupied West Bank. And Orly Noy, Israeli political activist, editor of the Hebrew language news site Local Call, and chair of B'Tselem's executive board. We'll link to your new piece for Plus972 magazine, What Israelis Won't Be Asking About the Palestinians Released for Hostages. Coming up, we speak to a former Palestinian prisoner and a former Israeli military commando who together helped found Combatants for Peace. Back in 20 seconds.
Lately, Leviathan has crept up from the south. Ooh. Up the River Jordan there with its ever-thirsty mouth. Ooh. Drinks is never satisfied. Down below.
Rise, Sweet Waters by Joey Weisenberg and the Hadar Ensemble. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. As we continue to cover the truce in Gaza and prisoner hostage releases, we're joined by two of the founders of the group Combatants for Peace. Avner Vishnitzer is a member of one of the Israeli military's elite commando units. He's joining us from Jerusalem. And in Ramallah, we're joined by Suleiman Khatib, who spent more than 10 years in prison after an altercation with two Israeli soldiers. They recently co-wrote an article for the New York Review of Books headlined Combatants for Peace. Suleiman, let's begin with you. As you see Palestinians released from prison in exchange for the Israeli hostages and those of other nationalities who've been released, can you talk about your thoughts as a former man imprisoned yourself?
Firstly, thank you, Amy, for having us, myself and my partner and brother, Avner, in Jerusalem. And as I heard your interview with the colleagues, speakers before us that explain in details about the prisoners and the hostages exchange. As ex-prisoner, I definitely feel a lot of empathy to the prisoners, especially we are talking about kids, actually, women and kids. That makes me feel optimistic, and that shows also, unfortunately, where the dehumanization and the multi standards, double standards that exist in this place. And definitely as an ex-prisoner personally and combatants for peace in our organization that include Palestinian and Israelis, that we live with a more multiple complex narrative, we would like really both the Israeli government and the Hamas in Gaza to release the prisoners, the civilians that were taken hostages in Gaza, and the Palestinian prisoners that we are talking about thousands of them, and some of them without charge even in jail. All these prisoners and hostages have families, have rights, and as we see, unfortunately, their rights of by international law were not granted. As we, my self experienced that. I've been in jail when I was actually 14, under a military court. So I know the meaning of separating from your family and being without rights, basically. I know the meaning of that.
And what inspired you now to commit your life to peace as a co-founder of Combatants for Peace?
So as an ex-political prisoner, and I participated, I'm a very active person since my childhood, very committed to the liberation and freedom of our people. I participated in different hunger strikes, food hunger strikes in jail, and that was my first introduction and transformation to nonviolence and the power of nonviolence. Through my experience and learning about the history of the conflict and learning, I also know Hebrew very well, and I'm coming from indigenous Palestinian family that has been living around here, outside of Jerusalem, almost more than 500 years. I has been opening my heart and my soul and my mind to find partners in the Israeli side that reach the same conclusion, which is basically as simple as no military solution for this conflict. And it's beyond that, because for us, nonviolence is ideology. We advocate for nonviolence, and we advocate for liberation that's collectively connected both Palestinians, despite, of course, the power dynamic and the occupation, which we challenge and we talk about it clearly. I believe that as I said, our freedom and our needs for freedom and for dignity and for human rights, both Palestinians and Israeli, is legitimate. The strategies that has been taking place, not just lately since October 7, but of course, like over decades of occupation and the apartheid system and the violence and the ideology of violence, whether it coming from a settler violence or it coming from religious violence from Hamas side, we are opposing this clearly and publicly. We are offering a different direction that based on partnership and common interest and common values, based actually on an old story that we, Jewish and Palestinian and Arab, we could live in coexistence next to each other, and our identities can really be safe and practiced in the land where we belong. And it doesn't have to be either or. We've been, myself, Avner, and other friends, we've been in the place where is it about us or them, eliminate them, and the army force options. We don't believe in this anymore. And definitely after I was released from jail, I committed my life to bridge the gap among our people with other activists. And the road is long. I know this is a long journey. It's not necessarily even for our generation.
Let me bring Avner Vishnitzer into the conversation. You are a former member of one of the IDF's elite commando units. What inspired you to help found Combatants for Peace?
Hi, and thanks for having us. For me, it was the gap between the way I was raised to believe that Israel is a safe haven for the Jews and that it's essentially a liberal democracy, and the reality of the occupation, which I learned to really know up close only after my service. I was at that time in my early 20s and still a reserve soldier in that same unit. And what I saw in the early 2000s around the South Hebron Hills and around Nablus and different places around the West Bank really brought me face to face with the systematic oppression, of which I was only vaguely aware. And it exposed, it created a dissonance, the declared values of Israel as a democracy and its backyard in which none of these values are valid. And I felt that I can no longer talk the talk and act as if this backyard did not exist. And I refused to serve in the occupied territories in late 2004. And then thinking that it's not enough to just refuse and absolve yourself from this systematic violence, it is crucial also to struggle against it actively, because you can only refuse once. And at that point, it was early 2005, we were approached by a group of Palestinians who were curious about this refusenik phenomenon, and then we started meeting, and these meetings later led to the formation of Combatants for Peace. And we have been saying for almost two decades what we are still saying now, and we insist even more. As Suli said, there is no military solution. It's a fantasy, but a very dangerous fantasy. And we see now the horror and the fear and the hatred in Israel, in the West Bank, in Gaza. What happened on the 7th of October, the atrocities are unprecedented. And then Israeli attack on Gaza and settler violence in the West Bank, again, unprecedented. The levels of violence keep rising, and the circle of violence just goes on, because we are unable to undo the driving forces of this conflict. First and foremost, the occupation. It's not the only reason, but we believe it's the most important reason for perpetuating this conflict. And this is why we've been struggling against it for so long.
And what do you think?
We believe there is an alternative, and this is what we're trying to push forward.
That's what I want to ask you about. What is the alternative at this point? You have this truce that could end today, unless Hamas releases 10 prisoners a day. But Israel has said only up to 10 days, and that they are going to wipe out Hamas in Gaza. What is the alternative, Avner?
The alternative is not in this micro-tactic level. Sure, we are for the release of all hostages. We are for the release of prisoners. You've talked about the prisoners a lot during this program. We are talking about something far more fundamental, a sea change, which means the renewal of talks that would lead to a just political solution that is agreed on both sides and not imposed unilaterally. And to support that political process that is so crucial, because right now there is no alternative. It's just brute force. And when people...
We have 10 seconds left, but then we're going to continue the conversation.
When people are fed with the idea that there is no choice but violence, they respond with violence to each other. We need to open an alternative, a political process to end the violence.
We want to thank you both so much for being with us. We're going to do part two and post it online. Avner Vishnitzer, former Israeli commando, and Suleiman Khatib with Combatants for Peace. Thanks for joining us.
FM Burnaby, independent campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. We also stream online at cjsf.ca and listen to podcasts of our programs and our website.
This is Diana.